It reads as follows. Ad hoc committee to exercise coordinated oversight on the liquors of the Native Land Act of 1913 was established by the resolution of the Assembly on the 6th June 2013 in terms of Group 214. The ad hoc committee to consist 12 members of the Portfolio Committee on Rural Development and Land Reform and the representatives from the following portfolio committees: Agriculture, Forestry and Fisheries, Arts and Culture, Public Works, Human Settlements and Cooperative Governance and Traditional Affairs, in accordance with the following proportions: ANC 11, DA 4, COPE 3, IFP 1, and other parties 1. I will now call for a nomination of the chairperson of this ad hoc committee. Honorable Mabuza.
Thank you, Chairperson, and good afternoon. I nominate Honorable David to be the chairperson of this ad hoc committee.
Any seconder? Not now, ma'am. Any seconder? MP Ntapanele seconded the nomination. Any further nomination?
Yes, I'd like to nominate some member Stevens Mokgolapa.
Any seconder for the nomination? By the hands? Seeing that there are only four members that are seconding the nomination, then we will call for the first nomination. Thank you. The chairperson of this committee will be MP Tibedi because he got more votes. Thank you. Okay. Go for voting. Sorry, ma'am. Can we vote by a show of hands? For Tibedi. Can you count, Chabo? Can we vote for the other honorable member? Mokgolapa? Thank you. Chairperson elect, you can come and take over your seat. Thank you very much.
Good afternoon, colleagues. Let me take this opportunity once more to thank you for electing me to chair this ad hoc committee. The terms of the committee have been read in terms of the resolution which established this committee. And I think it's important that we continue on the basis of what the House determined when they actually decided that there's such a committee, other committee should be formed. And I'm sure members will also agree that the committee, the resolution was taken just on the eve of a recess. So we have lost quite a time due to the recess. The deadline is on the 20th of September, where we'll be having to have submitted the report to the House. And the 20th of September also represents the end of the life of the committee, unless the House decide otherwise. But for now, our lifespan is up to the 20th of September. By that time, we must have concluded what we were asked to do. Now, the first part of the resolution, of course, deals with the composition which the acting chairperson alluded to. If you look at the document that we're having that deals with the proposal of the activities of the ad hoc committee, the first part, which is A, talks about the composition, which I'm not going to talk to. But the second one, you have A, B, C, and that E should be a D, because the D has been omitted here, and then you must correct it mutatis mutandis. Now, if you look at B, it says inquire about the systems put in place for and to monitor processes towards the reopening of the lodgement of land claims so that the Commission of Restitution of Land Rights can implement a program that is fair and transparent to all South Africans. It is quite a big task, but I must also emphasize that the role of this committee is not to invent anything new, rather. It will be to collect information that is already there and use that information to make an assessment as to the level of progress. And on the basis of that, make some kind of recommendation in terms of how best to respond to the challenges. Because as we are seated here right now, we don't know how far the process is. It is through this ad hoc committee that we must determine where the progress is and report accordingly to the House. C, talk about the assess the extent to which the program of land reform and rural development have addressed the legacy of the Native Land Act of 1913, especially with regard to the committee mandate in respect of the land divisions and agricultural development. And then it talks about assess the successes or otherwise of the land restitution program and then make recommendations. Now, these are the mandate that we are actually entrusted upon by the House. Now, with that document that you have, if you go to there are blank pages also there. If you go to the fifth page, that is also counting the blanks, you will see a table there. That table you will see on that page, and of course on the next page continues. it seeks to guide us. It's a proposal that says, how do we take this process forward? So you realize that this meeting doesn't really have an agenda except that of the election of the chair, but also looking at this proposal in terms of how do we move from here. So that this is a guide which in the next meeting will engage. For now, it's just to say that if you look at the first column of this table, it emphasizes the mandate that I've just read earlier on. And of importance would be the third column, which talks about activities. So it is important, therefore, to note that there is a proposal that by the 16th of August, the commissioner on land rights must brief the committee in terms of the systems which are put in place for and to monitor the processes towards the reopening of the lodgement claims. The President in the State of the Nation address made this determination that this process must be reopened to accommodate, among others, the Khoi and the Sans who lost their land before the 1913 promulgation of the Act. So the document therefore proposes that the Commissioner must come and brief this committee on the 16th of August in relation to these processes that are explained in the first mandate. And the Commission must also brief the Ad Hoc Committee on the legislative processes and the dates for the reopening of the lodgement. So that the Ad Hoc Committee can receive some insights into the proposed amendment. All these activities must happen on the 16th of August. We know that it is a very mammoth task, but we believe that the Office of the Commissioner by now must have put systems in place to respond to this order that the President has actually made. If you go down there, you see the second mandate will be to assess the extent to which the programs of land reform and rural development have addressed the legacy of the 1913 Land Act. Now here, in terms of activity, it is proposed that a workshop must be convened. A two-day workshop must be convened to critically examine the proposed policies to improve implementation of the program of land reform through a round table to synthesize the proposals from the workshop. Now, what it means here is, in responding to this mandate, a proposal is to have a workshop on the 22nd to the 24th of August. And this workshop must actually include the people who have been part of this process. Like, for example, the NGOs who have been involved to try and help, because the idea here is to assess the extent to which the program of land reform has addressed the legacy of the 1913 Land Act. Now, to do that, of course, we'll need some people with some extensive knowledge of research, but also who've got access to a lot of information that can actually help us to formulate a well-informed approach, because all these processes will be leading us to making recommendations which can make sense to the National Assembly, which can help the National Assembly to look at what are the blockages and what mechanisms to put in place to unblock those blockages. And the second activity there is to critically examine the proposed policies to improve implementation of the program of land reform, and also to document the committee's main findings about the extent to which South Africa has addressed the legacy of the land rights. There has to be some kind of findings which are based on all these processes that we have been, that would have been undertaken, where the commissioner has reported we have used whatever information at our disposal, which I will come back to very, very quickly. Now, the next mandate talks about to assess the success or otherwise of the land restitution program. Now, the proposal here is to look at the possibility, in fact, of having an oversight to three provinces, namely KwaZulu-Natal, Northwest, and Limpopo. Now, the proposal here is that this visit must be undertaken by the committee, and the proposal is also that it is better if the whole committee visits one province at a time and split in that province. In other words, we have one province for 2 days to make it 6 days. If we go to KZN, we go all of us, we target areas, we split in that province, we make an impact, we get whatever information that we need, we get out of that province knowing exactly that all of us are reading from the same page as far as that province is concerned. And the second visit will go maybe to Northwest and Limpopo and so on, the three provinces. But we don't propose a split to share the provinces. We propose that all of us go to one province at a time. And that is proposed to take place from the 1st to the 6th of September. In other words, the 7th will be a departure from the last province. Then the last recommendation here talks about recommendations in terms of how you remove the backlogs which prevent the restitution of land. And here the suggestion is that the ad hoc committee deliberate on the findings and propose recommendations. The findings would have arose from the oversight, and deliberate on those findings, and we sort of craft recommendations. And that it is proposed that it takes place for 2 days, meaning the 13th and the 18th of September. But remember that on the 18th of September it will be just 2 days or a day and a half before the end of the mandate of the committee. We will then, in the process, engage the programming committee, because in terms of the program of Parliament, of the National Assembly, that week represents committee week, so there wouldn't be any plenary around that time. So we will then, in the meantime, engage the programming committee to make them aware of the situation and ensure that they are alive to the situation and they can advise us accordingly. But just to say, by way of concluding this, to say that this is a very ambitious program, given the time at our disposal. It's a very ambitious program. But we want to do whatever we can to ensure that by the time the deadline dawns upon us, we will be able to say we have done our best, and then we can be able to submit either a report, or we can be able to say we have gone up to so far. But the point that we need to emphasize here is, since we're given this mandate, we only start now, which is the 6th. When was this resolution taken? It was taken on the 6th of June. 2 months after the resolution was taken, we are meeting to start to kickstart the process. That's why I'm saying it is a very ambitious program given the time left at our disposal. But our appeal and plea is, let us not debate whether it is doable or not doable. Let us do the work and we'll see where we'll be on the 18th of September, when we're supposed to be wrapping up everything. Whatever problems that come along the way, we will sit down and look at how best we can maneuver out of those problems. But for now, I don't think it's time to sit down and say, no, this we cannot do, this we can do. Let's just try and do the best we can do for now, mindful of the fact that we have lost 2 months already. Yes, go ahead, sir.
Chairperson, I just want a clarity on an issue, and that is the workshop that is proposed, the 2.5-day workshop. How is that going to differ from the workshop that we had about a month ago, where we marked the centenary of the Native Land Act of 1913 and we did parliamentary oversight on mechanisms to reverse its legacy? I'd just like to get a clarity as to how what we're proposing here, when we've got such little time, how it's going to differ from what we had there.
Well, you comment on the previous workshop that we held. And, okay, before that, Tambuza?
Chair, thank you very much. I would love to request that we let you finish, and then when we finish, you call upon our comments, so that. Because if we continue this way, everyone is going to stop you, won't finish, and we've got other business, other meeting.
Actually, I'm done. Let me open the matter for
yeah.
questions and comments. And then the first comment has been made already, and then I will allow you to comment.
Thanks, Chair. Good afternoon, honorable members. What was presented here is a proposal, so we have the space to shape the how the committee should actually take this process forward. However, at the end of that workshop, if members would remember, there was an undertaking or suggestion or proposal that was made that we should then identify particular experts in the field to come and work with this committee around key policy issues that emanated from that process. One of the issues that was presented, I'm not sure people will remember that Professor Hall from UWC raised 6 strategic questions. And the proposal presented here is that to take this process forward and come up with some kind of a clear and very straightforward policy proposal, perhaps we should have as a framework those kind of questions, open more space for discussion between members of parliament, MPLs who were there, and our stakeholders to see if we can come to kind of common ground. And those that participated in the workshop will also remember that, I mean, there were different angles, you know, from which people viewed the policy proposal. For instance, take an example around the communal land tenure system, the issue around private land titling or, you know, freehold titling versus some kind of communal approach with rights nested into household. So those issues were left hanging. So how do we bring all these issues to a close? So this workshop will kind of take forward the discussion of that workshop. We're not going to be repeating the presentations, but it's more of further engaging on those policy issues and see if we can't really bring this whole discussion about the Green Paper on Land Reform as well to an end among a range of issues that we discussed. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Are there any further comment?
Thanks very much, Chair. Just to find out on the choice of provinces, these three provinces that were chosen, were they chosen based on each having a particular theme that we're going to be looking at? Or is it just generic three provinces that were just geographically aligned? What was the strategic choice of the three provinces?
Can we have questions and comments? We'll then respond later.
Yes.
Thank you, Chairperson. I think this is a good program, as we have indicated, and also that we have to make sure that the program is implemented, although we've got time constraints. But I just want to make a proposal with regards to the dates, because my experience of I've learned that the meetings on Friday, in most cases, they are not a success, although we know that Friday is a working day. But there are other members who are coming from provinces who have got to connect in Joburg, and they've got maybe one flight. But I would propose that instead of having meetings on Friday, what about Mondays? It's a proposal, because we know that Monday will be here for the full day, then Tuesday we continue with the normal business of Parliament, because I'm afraid inviting people to come here or the department to come here, then members will be out each that they are rushing for the flights. At the end of the day, there will be two or three members remaining, of which will be it will be a problem. That's my proposal, Chair.
Thank you.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. Mine is with regard to the initial program. We were split into groups, but now we are going to work as one group into these two, three provinces. So I just want to know, is the initial actually proposal not viable for us to change that first one to this one, because that one was covering a very bigger scale. Because if we split, then I think those are there, others are there, others are there, then when we come together, we can save time. But I just want to know the rationale behind this one. Thank you.
Yes.
Regarding the proposal that we shift Friday's program to Monday we will have the same problem because it's constituency days, and most of us will be in the constituencies.
So you're suggesting that we stick to Friday?
No.
Thank you very much, Chair. I don't want to go in a dialogue, but as you were saying, that according to the time frame, and the time is against us, and this is ad hoc committee, I think for us who coming from different parties who are deploying this ad hoc committee, we must be flexible, because of the name of the committee is ad hoc. So this committee will not stay forever. According to the mandate was this committee was given. So therefore I think we must compromise on our days, so that we make sure according to the time frame of this document that we fulfill the work of that whole committee. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Well, I think in terms of splitting or not splitting, the only motivation here is that it will be important for us because our lifespan is too short. If we go to one province, it will give us a sense, all of us, as to what is happening, as compared to receiving reports that come from units that we have established that come from different provinces. So we thought an impact would be made if we go to one province, all of us, 30 of us or whatever number we are, we move into one province, we make this impact, we cover a lot of space in that province and we come back and we go to another province. That's the only motivation that I can give in terms of splitting. We are aware that splitting, right now, for example, the team here is still struggling to compile a report that comes from the Northwest, simply because it comes from different units. Now, we don't have that luxury now. All what we need is to go to one place, come back with one particular understanding and report, and move on without waiting for this unit to prepare a report and that unit to prepare a report. That's the only motivation I can give in as far as splitting is concerned. In as far as meetings are concerned, the days are concerned, whether Monday or Fridays or Monday and Friday and so on, I really think that a degree of flexibility, I agree with the speaker there, is very important. And more especially taking into account that it's not a permanent arrangement. It's a very short arrangement. It will only apply until the 20th, not even the 20th, until towards the end of September. Before the 20th of September. From there, everything will be back to normal. So I really think that the issue of Monday and Friday shouldn't be an issue. But if the issue of flights is a problem, I think that's a very serious one now. If people have to connect flights on a Friday and if they miss those flights, they can't move, it's a matter we'll have to consider. So I think it's a matter that we can really have to take to our respective parties to understand that we will request that from now until our mandate lapses, our parties apply some flexibilities in terms of allowing us to finish this work. And I can assure you, we're not talking about 20 days of work or whatever. So I don't think it is a train smash. I don't think we should spend more time on this one. My suggestion is really be that let us look at what is feasible. The issue of flight seems to be a problem. So because which means if a person misses a flight, a connecting flight, that becomes a big problem. So if we have to sacrifice our constituency meetings on a Monday, two Mondays or three Mondays, just to do this work that we are giving by the National Assembly, I don't think it's something that it's worth doing. And I want to appeal to you as members of this committee that let us apply some degree of flexibility on this one. Because we understand that there are other provinces where there are no flights. That's the reality of our South Africa. So I'm making this appeal, therefore, that let's agree that we will sit on those special mandates just to finish this particular work.
I thank you, Chairperson, and thank you for this opportunity. My I think it won't be a personal request on behalf of all members of this committee, maybe to request, I'm not sure from which office or the speakers, because we're doing National Assembly work, maybe from the Speaker's office to write to the different political parties as well. Because remember, so we come from different provinces and we have different provincial secretaries who are also expecting us to do our constituency work. I think that's also an important element because we're expected to do it. I think we must not shy away from that and say it's 2 Mondays only. It might have implications on our provinces. So I'm just saying a letter like that, maybe that states our names. I think you understand what I'm saying. That will go even to the provincial secretaries, to
the federal councils and whoever that we belong to, so that it can be very clear that we are requested by National Assembly. It's not a matter of a member just deciding to be part of the ad hoc and just because of personal interest. I think it would be important to have that so that there can be certain, you know, the surety. I'll say, remember now it's election times, all the people are worried about these processes, you know. This is a time that this is a time that we are really watched whether you are there in the constituency or not. It's a reality of a matter. So such letters will protect many from such issues from across political parties. I think that would be important if that can be done. I think it will put members at ease as well. I'm not sure whether indeed, right. Okay.
Can you agree to that?
Yes.
Agreed?
Yes.
Thank you very much. So it's agreed that we will impress upon the Office of the Speaker to make sure that all the relevant structures of our part of our political parties are informed, starting from the whips, chief whips here in Parliament, to our political offices and so on. That we are members of this committee, we are assigned to do this particular work, our lives spent on this particular day. So we will be called upon from time to time to attend these meetings, and they must actually understand that we are responding to this challenge. Let me also say, colleagues, that in doing this work, we'll be guided by, among others, the following documents. It will be a there's the issue about three provinces. I will allow you to respond on that one.
Thanks. We got these three provinces from the workshop of the 7th and the 8th. I'll also remind members that at the end, the chairperson made that proposal and say, because of the issues that came with the members of the public, we rather find mechanisms or ways in which we can visit this province. One, Northwest, and it relates to strategic choice about themes in that area. There was the issue about mining traditional leaders and particular communities, so it's access and control of resources, and that linking to the whole question of, you know, communal land system, who owns and who has control, who allocates what. So it's engagement and discussion around that community, that issue. But remember what we are requested to assess restitution. So when we're there, we should also link to issues around land claims. It may be visiting one or two settled land claims, learn how are they doing things, what are the shortcomings, what are successes, and what can we recommend? So that's one issue. In KZN, there were strong issues around women's land rights from that province. Remember the case about Matiwana's Corp and the rural women's movement. So there was just like strong feeling to say, when you go to Northwest, apart to KZN, apart from restitution, this is another issue around women's land rights. Limpopo, you can deal with a range of issues, but the issue that the workshop suggested or recommended on was this issue around CP, communal property associations, and traditional leadership, and how restitution, you know, begins to resolve some of these issues. So there was not any other scientific reason why we chose these three, based on the discussion from the workshop that we had.
Well, there you have it. I think the answer is clear. I was therefore saying, colleagues, that in carrying out this work, we'll be guided, among others, by the report of the workshop to mark the centenary of the 1989 Act, which was held on the 7th and 8th of June. Secondly, the report on the oversight visit to the Northwest Province in May. Thirdly, the report of the Commission on the Restitution of Land Rights. I indicated earlier on that in terms of this proposal, we received a briefing from the Commissioner. So that report also will guide us moving forward. Of course, and any other relevant available report that we can use, for example, Expropriation Amendment Bill, etc., we can look at all other related
documents which are available that can help us to respond directly to the mandate that we have been given. And then finally, just to say that in terms of what we've just agreed upon, whenever we have a proposal on a Friday, we will shift it to a Monday in terms of the resolution that we have adopted. And of course, we will write the letter as Honorable Sudusa have suggested. Any other matter? Well, in the absence of any other matter, we will meet on the 19th of August. It will be a Monday. But we will make sure that from now on we facilitate the process of informing the speaker and informing the parties as you have suggested. Thank you very much. The meeting is adjourned.
Thank you.